Muhammad and guests of this radio broadcast of WNDC 750 on your dial. We welcome our honorable audience to this broadcast. And as you know, this broadcast is being brought to you by the Harvey Islamic Center, but it's also sponsored by the faithful, as I call them, audience of business people and professionals who saw fit that the value of the leadership of Imam W.D. Muhammad be aired and also kept on the air to let the general audience and society know the value of the leadership and the mission and the ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad. And I am honored to have the opportunity to present to you Imam W.D. Muhammad today, and also to, we've been on the air, as you know, for a little over a year now, as we say, uninterrupted, and we praise God for that, because it is you, the people, who, as I said before, saw fit that this great broadcast be aired. And God willing, that we are working on methods right now to see that Imam W.D. Muhammad is heard more than just the once a week program, which we are thankful even for that. We also like to say to you that we saw fit, and when I speak of we, I'm speaking of the people in general, that this broadcast is about Imam W.D. Muhammad, even though we have various guests that come on the station, but it's about his accomplishments, about his mission, about the works that he have done with the name of God, and that it's about the future plans of Imam W.D. Muhammad. We feel that he's an outstanding leader in all aspects of not only the religion, also even in business, and helping the individual people to get their lives together. So I am honored today to have Imam W.D. Muhammad in my presence, and I appreciate you, Imam, for coming out of your busy schedule. We know that you travel. As we speak now, you might be on the way out of the city again, but I've told the audience many times that we follow an active leader, and we appreciate you for that also. And I wanted to welcome you to your show.
Thank you. Yes, Imam Daniel Kareem. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. It's we are very pleased to know that we have supporters for the W.D. Muhammad broadcast of concerns under my leadership, and the Harvey Center under your leadership. And in fact, I consider you the Imam propagating the religion of Islam in Chicago and in the surrounding areas, not just the Harvey Center.
Okay.
Yes, yes. And you were doing a very excellent job, as I see it. And I'm sure that what I'm saying is the thoughts and feelings of most of the Muslims in this area. As you know, WDM Ministry is my office, and I work from that office, and I do travel out of the city often, sometimes out of the country, but I've been having a kind of a break from traveling out of the country, which I'm enjoying. And I think I have to go travel out of the country around the end of this year. So I'm having a big big break from traveling overseas, and I really need that. Travel can take a lot out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And the worst part of it, I think, is just being away from the people you're close to. And that's your family, your immediate family, but not only your immediate family, the people that you work with every day and see every day.
Yes.
And you're one of them.
Well, thank you.
So let me know how you want me to proceed here and what concerns you think we should address for this broadcast.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you for that email. I guess you know my feelings, and you know me as the person, Darnell, we've been knowing each other since we were kids.
That's true.
I remember you once said, you said that I knew you as...
And went to school together.
And went to school
together. same classroom. The Arabic. I'm much older than you, but we all started the Arabic lessons at the same time.
That's right.
Yeah. I was older. Leroy, your brother Leroy, and I, we about the same age. I think we were the oldest of the students in the class.
Yes, and then Charles.
Charles, that's right. I forgot Charles.
Right.
Yeah, Charles our age, my age, and Leroy's age. Yeah, that's right, Charles and Leroy.
You were the first graduates.
Yeah, we were the first graduates, from the Muslim school.
Yeah.
The University of Islam High School.
That's right.
Yes, that's right. And I recall getting that diploma. We were so happy and proud. And the ribbons, we had it all. And it was very, very beautiful and a great thrill to be the first graduates from high school, from the Muslim school, University of Islam High School. Yes.
Okay. Well, Imam, is the reason why when you bring up these comments like this about back then, at the times that we were in school, and your mother and father were alive, and all the pioneers were alive, and the struggles was there. I think about all the way up to the day how Allah has blessed this community since the passing of your father, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And here recently, we had the celebration of 25 years. Of your leadership since the passing of your father. So, therefore, I would like for you to more or less just, it might be a term to say, where do we go from here? We celebrated the 25 years of progress. So, what is the, I would say, the immediate thrust that you're carrying the community from after the celebration of the 25 years?
Yes. Yes. Our families are our main concern as Muslims. We want our families to be in good condition, and to have family life in good condition, it means that you have to have with us, and with Christians too, it means that you have to have your religion first. Your religion has to be the most important thing in your life. Religion, I don't like to separate business from religion, because there's no way to have business in the United States. There's no way to have your religion established and the religious services standing for the people who want them without financial support.
Mm-hmm.
Our following, though it's changing, it began with some of the poorest African Americans or the poorest blacks in the cities in the 1930s, early 30s, and that continued up to most of the half of the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And then we saw a little material change come. But still, we are a community of poor people. Though we have a few, I would say, well-off people financially in the community, not rich. I wouldn't even consider them the rich, be rich people. I don't think of them as rich people, but they are comfortable. They are comfortable. Their salaries may range from $75,000 and up, maybe as much as $200,000 a year. The ones I have in mind now. So that's a big change from the 30s and the 40s and 50s, even the 60s. During the late 60s and during the 70s, we start to see African Americans, Muslims in our association, who earn larger incomes, the size that I mentioned. So we need to work on giving the audience and giving our following in the audience and in the meetings, the worship, the meetings that we have for worship. That's the Jumu'ah meeting, the Friday service meeting, and other meetings, Sunday's meetings. When we meet with the people, we have to be aware that African Americans and most of the poor people, they, there's exception, has always had been an exception, but most of them don't have a good understanding of the value of business discipline, handling your money properly and handling it in a way to not to get yourself in financial trouble, etc. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you recall, he was trying to sensitize us to respect money and to manage it better. I don't think the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was doing something un-Islamic. I think he was doing something Islamic. And we find the churches, the many churches that we find in the news, that we see in the news now for investments in the community, making investments in the community, taking care of their congregations, insurance, etc. These churches, they have something to stand upon too in the Bible. The Bible and the Quran wants believers to know their responsibility in a material world or in a financial world, as well as in a spiritual world. So to me, this is very important. If we are going to be successful with our life, with our religious life, which is more important to us than the material life, much more important to us than the material life. But we have to have responsibility, accept responsibility for creating wealth and managing it.
I see. So I think that brings it to the next question I have here in terms of your plans for the future. And I had two things in mind, the business plan, your educational plans. I know that you spoke many times about the priority of the school.
Yes.
And that, so that brings to the educational part. Then the other part that I wanted to bring to you is in terms of that, I noticed that you have been focused in a certain area, like in the South Suburban area, period. You seem to be focused in that area. Can you kind of like address that to us in terms of the business plan and the educational in a certain area, Chicago area?
Yes. There are two reasons. As you know, I'm a Chicagoan, and you are too. But we live in the suburbs. We live in the suburbs of Chicago. I don't mind being separated from the city that I know to be my city, the city of my life. I've lived my whole life in Chicago, just about, except for a few years. As long as we have access to the city and its benefits. By the way, Markham, the water is not Markham's water, it's Chicago's water. hot water coming from Chicago.
Right.
Yes, and it's processed, cleaned, and everything by Chicago. So we are not really out away from Chicago as long as we're drinking the water from Chicago.
Sure, that makes sense.
Yes. The main reason for us selecting this area is to have more opportunity to develop a nucleus, or what we are calling a model Muslim community environment.
Mm-hmm.
That's a neighborhood.
Yes, sir.
A nucleus for a neighborhood. It doesn't mean that only Muslims are being this nucleus or be in this neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
We welcome our neighbors, no matter what their religion is. We welcome them to be our neighbors, and we want to show them. In fact, that's part of our spirit. We want to show them that we can be good neighbors and we can be responsible for the governmental establishment there.
Mm-hmm.
We hope to have a nucleus in a community where we will have our own alderman, we will have maybe our own mayor in time, if it grows big enough.
Yeah.
We'll have our own mayor. And we want to show that we're responsible Americans, citizens of the United States of America, with love and a concern for all of our people. That includes Christians, Jews, whoever, whatever their religion is, Buddhists, whoever. I just want us to rise up to that challenge to provide an environment for people and be responsible for it. I think that desire is in the soul and the heart and spirit
mm-hmm.
of most African Americans, because slavery took away from us that responsibility.
Mm-hmm. I see. Yeah. Well, I think that is very clear, Imam, as to your plans for in this area, the South River, because from studies it shows that it's not this idea that there's no growth in the north and the west or whatever, but statistics show that this is one of the fastest growing areas for productivity, for production, for development,
mm-hmm.
is in the South Suburban
mm-hmm.
area. And I understand, even from studies, that they have the chamber here in the South Suburban area, and the chamber is supposed to be larger than the one in the city of Chicago.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of development that's in the South Suburban area that's much larger than the city of Chicago.
Yes.
See,
I know there's more land available mm-hmm. out here, and
yes.
More land available, and you can kind of select the place or the area that you want to begin developing a small community, a small neighborhood community. You can do that out here where the land in the city is already got, most of the land is already had by somebody,
mm-hmm.
Developers or by most of the land is occupied by the residents, families. So this, to me, the outside of the big city is where we should be concentrating on developing a model of Islamic community life with neighbors, Christians, and whoever.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Well, speaking of the school, a school or education, how would you address to people that perhaps their focus might be business, it might be jobs, it might be others, but they seem to set aside studying the religion, studying, educating themselves. Can you address that in terms of the priority?
Yes. When I became leader, I had a visitor from Egypt,
mm-hmm.
came from the government, but a religious person, sent from the religious department. And first thing he said to me was, he said, well, you know, Well, I'm acquainted with your brother Akbar. Akbar is educated by them, educated at Azhar University, most popular, famous university in the Islamic world,
mm-hmm.
by popular opinion in the Islamic world. He said, I know your brother Akbar. I said, in fact, I talked to him, and we know of you, but we don't know you too well. I said, yes, that's true. He said, if we have a choice, he said, we like to pick the one who is educated.
Mm.
He said, but if we don't have that choice, we pick the one who's good.
Is that right?
Yeah. That's what he told me. Ibrahim, Dr. Ibrahim from Egypt. So I'm agreeing with him. Education is number one priority in Islam. Respect for knowledge is part of propagation of Islam. That is an important part of preaching Islam or spreading Islam, is to make the people aware of the importance of knowledge and to have them respect knowledge. God says to us in our holy book, and you know Arabic too, some of the Arabic, he said he has tied everything together and has incorporated everything, the whole universe,
yes.
upon knowledge and mercy, upon knowledge and mercy. And it means that everything is in a context of knowledge and mercy,
mm-hmm.
Knowledge and mercy. I'm speaking on this, using the mic, this invention of modern science, modern technology.
Mm-hmm.
I'm using this mic to carry the voice. We're using it to carry the voice to the recorder for the broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
But you can study that mic, and that mic has its own knowledge.
Yeah.
The mic has its own knowledge. When you study the mic, you're studying the knowledge of the mic in the PA system, right?
Yeah.
So that goes for everything. If it's a mosquito, mosquito has mosquito knowledge. And science will study the mosquito and give you the science of his life. So you understand how he lives, why he wants blood, and how he flies and everything. So God said this to us 1,400 years ago, long before modern science and technology.
Mm-hmm.
God said this to us. He told us that everything, through Muhammad the Prophet, he told all of humanity that everything is contained in a context of science, knowledge, and mercy.
Mm-hmm.
That's to tell the wise judge that don't just go upon your knowledge, but respect your human heart. And know when mercy is to be the rule.
Yeah.
Mm. So that's for everything, you know, knowledge and mercy. We find that even death is a mercy. Most people see death as, it's frightening to think of, oh, I'm going to die, my child is going to die. Yes, we're all going to die. But God has created death, too, as a mercy. So knowledge is priority, number one priority.
Yes.
Education, then, is our responsibility. And as you know, the first words revealed to the Prophet Muhammad 1,400 years ago about was read.
Mm-hmm.
First word of revelation to him was read.
That's right.
Iqra is the Arabic, the Quranic term.
Mm-hmm.
Iqra, he said to Muhammad, read in the name of your Lord who created. Iqra bismi rabbuka alladhi khalaq. And you know it. You know all of that.
Yeah. Well, going to another area. Thank you for those beautiful comments, Imam. Another area that we have here is about how do you see the Islamic centers and their role in society?
The Islamic
centers.
The centers, yes.
Islamic centers. We have Mars, some is Mars, some we have, as you know, have centers.
Yes.
And we're there, but what would you say is the central, the important of the role of it in the community?
Yes. The term that's used by Arabic-speaking persons, teachers, instructors, imams, professors, is jamia. That's one of the terms, jamia.
Mm-hmm.
And jamia simply means gathering,
mm-hmm.
the group, the people who come together, gather together, jamia. You might can say congregation even, jamia. So jamia is a term that is broad enough for us to have everything represented in that term, under that term, jamia, gathering, that we want. And that's the place of worship, the schools, and social functions, etc.
Mm-hmm.
We say centers, and centers to me means the place that attracts the numbers to come there.
Mm-hmm.
So you end up with jamia. You still end up with jamia. They attract the numbers to come there. And center, I love that word center, because we know all Muslims are held together by the center called Qibla, the Kaaba in Mecca.
Mm-hmm.
We all direct ourselves toward that center, or Qibla, in prayer 5 times daily, and we make pilgrimage to that once in lifetime, and some of us go yearly, if we can afford it, mm-hmm. to that place. So center is a good term for us to have, in English, good term for us to have. And the role of the center should be to build community life. God says to us that you are a community, you are the best of the communities evolved or brought out of darkness, ignorance, and corruption for the good of all people. Antum khayra ummatan ukhrijat linnas. Yeah, that's the Quranic Arabic. Which you understand, and I'm sure that some of our audience understand that too,
mm-hmm.
understand that language, the original language of Quran, of our holy book, the Quran. So the role should be community life. But we are also a community within a community. We are a Muslim a community within the community of American people.
Mm-hmm.
So we are obligated then, according to the best traditions of the Muslims, coming from the best tradition of man, Prophet Muhammad's tradition,
mm-hmm.
peace be upon him, is to respect your neighbor and to respect those who that you are living among, who provide the services of government for you. So we would have to respect this, the United States of America, and appreciate all the services that the people authorize the government to give us, and therefore we have to live community with respect for what complements and enhances the beauty and value and human value of American society.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad that you made that clarity, because the reason why we brought that question was that sometimes people, we seem to be threatened by each other sometimes, human beings, if they're Christians or if they're Jews or whatever, that certain people come into an area and they tend to be threatened by it, to say, well, the Muslims, this, for example, because we are Muslims, and that we come into an area, we want to give those our neighbors and people, let them know that we're not a threat to them, and that our purpose in here in this area is not to try to convert you to Islam. So can you mention that in terms of that, how we can clarify our neighbors and let them know what we're about when we come to an area and they see an Islamic center or they see a mosque or whatever?
Yes, I agree. I agree with what you said 100%. But I know some people, some persons, Christians and others, and especially Muslims, will have a little bit discomfort or uneasiness with what you said when you said our purpose is not to convert them to Islam. Because many Muslims, I mean, mostly imams from overseas and from here and from America, from the African American Muslims, feel that we are duty bound to invite people to Islam. And when they hear an expression, we are not, our main purpose is not to convert, they sometimes respond emotionally to that, to what's said, without really coming from knowledge. In the Quran, God says that even the Prophet Muhammad does not have the power, the authority to make a person a believer. That only God can give people faith. We can only invite them. So really, Islam is not a religion that I would say highlights conversion, as many people think. It's not really a conversion. And most of the learned people from overseas that I've had occasion to talk to long before I left the Nation of Islam, or the idea of God in the Nation of Islam, they made a point of saying that you're not converted to Islam, you're just accepting what's your nature, and you're not to use high pressure sales talk to bring a person to Islam. You're supposed to discuss Islam with them and invite them to accept Islam. It's called dawah, as you know. It's called dawah, and dawah is invitation. It's not conversion. It doesn't mean conversion. It means invitation. So we are to give, Muslims are obligated to give people invitation to come and experience and observe Islam to see if that's what they would like to have. This is the way we should approach those who are not Muslims. And anyone who shows us by their expressions, by word of mouth or whatever, that they do not want us to introduce them to Islam or invite them to Islam, then we would be really violating the spirit of Islam if we insist upon inviting them. And but if you're a fisherman, I'm not, but I would love to be a fisherman. If you know a good fishing spot, and your neighbor is going out fishing, you would want your neighbor to know about that good fishing spot. If you enjoyed a certain delicious meal, you would want to share that with your family. But if you think your friends don't know about that dish, you want to share that information with your friends too. Yes. So we are actually competitors, and we have to accept that. Christians have a delicious meal and a beautiful fishing spot. We do too.
Right. That's true. We do. That's exactly, you know, because there was one of the questions I was going to ask you, and I think you did answer, because I was at a occasion one time at a dinner, and there was about 1,500 people there for a fundraiser, and we had a lot of ministers was on the stage there. It was a Muslim community on the north side was giving a fundraiser, and as they were introducing each speaker, they were using a lot of Arabic terms. Jazakallah, Jazakallah, you know, you don't mean may God reward you, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. So I was looking at the audience, and it seemed to be uncomfortable, what's going on up here on the stage here. So when I came up to make my comments, the first thing I said, I clarified to let them know that we didn't want our Christian brothers and sisters here that's present to be uncomfortable. So I made a little joke of it, say we're not having any passwords here talking against you or anything. I think these are very Islamic good terms that we use, and perhaps our brothers might not be conscious of it, but it means may God reward you and peace be with you or whatever. So I made it clear as best that I could. But my point with that, Imam, is this here. We tend to try to introduce Islam to the people in a way that we turn people off.
Yes, that's true.
Yes, sir.
That's true.
I think that when a person comes into the centers or a mosque and everything, we shouldn't come right there and say, if a woman comes there, make her feel uncomfortable, say, before you come to any of our meetings, you have to put on hijab. If you don't put on hijab, you can't come to this. You know, so we throw that Islamic
the head covering.
Yes, sir. The head covering, yes.
And yes.
But the person doesn't, they come in, they want to know. And then here we come with Islamic terms and different things that we are so accustomed among ourselves. We throw it on the people, and they become disenchanted about Islam. Yes.
Yes. The obligation on the speaker who is representing himself as a Muslim or representing Islam is to make it clear. This is the obligation,
yes,
to make it clear. It says we have not revealed this religion or this message for a purpose other than to make it clear. That it might be clear and understandable.
Yes, sir.
Yes. So that's an obligation. And if you speak, if you use too many foreign terms that's foreign to the audience that they don't understand, you do separate the audience from yourself. The speaker, without knowing it, is separating the audience from himself.
I see. The other one brings to mind, and really, Imam, I have to stress on this more too, that we really appreciate your time.
Well,
thank you so much for this. It's a lot of people who are they are dedicated listeners, I would say, to this, and they live by this. We had a youth, I like to say this here, one youth in Gary, for example, whose life has changed, turned around. The mother called me and told me that she was having problems with her son, and just the one time that we must have had the right subject on that played by you, and it made a difference in that child's life.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank Allah.
Yeah. So I had said to myself, if one soul can be awakened, a man or whatever, then it was well worth it.
There
are a lot of youth listening.
That's wonderful.
To this year, and I'm glad for this, because this brings me to the next question in terms of our youth. We use the term youth. I assume that we talked to them about, let's say, teenagers and young adults. And we have a lot of them, as you know, that went to, going back to our school, the University of Islam, and also the Clare Muhammad School. And these youth, young people, they have, I wouldn't say they've never left the community, but they have gone on to qualify themselves in education and business. and they hold a wealth of resources in them. I had a few that we interviewed here on the radio, and I was surprised at the way that they expressed themselves. But there was something that they were was missing there with them, that they want to feel a sense of need in our community, because we feel as if you are offering, as we might admit, I can use the term keys to success, you're offering so many programs for humanity, ma'am, it's just unbelievable. So these resources of these young people, they can be viable to the community. So I would like for you to say something to them in terms of their need in the community, as God has blessed them to become qualified in all of these areas.
Yes, I recall my teenage life and my young adult life, in my 20s, early and mid-20s. And I know the environment, the city environment that I was in was nothing in terms of being a stimulation mm-hmm. for my mind, my intellect, my desire to develop my intellect and educate myself and become a productive person, a citizen, family member. It was nothing in comparison with what we have today. These youth are favored by an environment that stimulates the mind and stimulates the intellectual curiosities more than any environment before them, before their time. Mm-hmm. And it's becoming even more and more rich in terms of its power to stimulate intellectual interest. The television, the programs on science, natural life and science, the programs on technology, etc., and just the news itself is so rich in comparison with what we received when I was young, mm-hmm. That we must say that this generation is really favored in terms of what this environment can do to stimulate their minds and their intellect for a productive life. A productive life. So we have a very special generation, a very, very special generation. And they should not see the media as detrimental to them. Certainly, we know violence and sex perversion. You can get it on certain channels if you have that kind of program, TV program. Mm-hmm. That does not make the media are detrimental. What they should know is that there is a richer media now, television, radio, newspapers, magazine. The media, the news media, the information media is much richer now in terms of what it can do to assist a person in developing their minds and becoming better educated, more knowledgeable. Of things and information that permit them to have a better and stronger productive life as a citizen of this country and the world. So that's my message to them. Be aware of your good situation that we didn't have when I was young in this modern world of information, science, and et cetera. And remember your roots. Remember your family, and more important than family is to remember your religion, because if you lose your religion, then you can't do much for your family, in our opinion.
Mm-hmm. Good. Well, I guess that leads to the next question. We got a few more questions here for you, ma'am, and we will end this here. And the other one is, in terms of that, how could you address the Muslims, knowing that this is with our young adults, and even with Muslims just in general, that how would you say that to live as a Muslim in a more or less a pluralistic society and not be affected by that? How would you address that?
Yes, a question recently came to me in the mail from a young person on the campus, on a college campus, a female, and we can understand them having some problems.
Yes.
And that same question, in fact, it was the same question, put in different words, but the same question.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So the way we live is with knowledge. The more knowledge we have of Islamic life, what Islamic life is, what Islamic daily life is, how I am to live my life daily, and for those the situation here now, I know you're coming to the conclusion of this program today.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a lot of time. So it will suffice to say that if most of the youth that come to that are Muslims with us from our association, African Americans, blacks, they came to Islam from Christian families.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the child was young, very young, a toddler, maybe when the parent converted. Maybe the child was born in Islamic community. All great. Your Christian parents, they know Christian virtues.
Mm-hmm.
They know that adultery is wrong. They know that to have sex before marriage is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They know that to use drugs is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They know to go to parties and behave as though you're a sex creature and not a moral creature and an irrational creature, mm-hmm, is wrong.
Yeah.
So until they increase their knowledge of Islamic life, they should be aware of their parents and their good morals and virtues and the things, the do's and don'ts that their parents know, and respect their parents, what their parents tell them.
Hmm. I see. So you're saying, so you're giving us, I would say, advice in terms of holding on to those values and those virtues that, I would say that we grew up with in the homes.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Christian virtues.
Yes.
Yes. Until you know Islamic life, daily life,
mm-hmm,
its instructions, its moral instructions,
mm-hmm,
for a virtuous life, etc., the commandments of God. Because we have persons who convert to Islam today, and they on the campus when they converted. Then we have persons who convert to Islam last year, but now they're on the campus.
Yeah.
Yes. So we don't expect for them to know anything about Islam. From what I'm saying, most of the teachings on a virtuous life,
mm-hmm,
are so close to Christian teachings on the virtuous life, that until they learn the Islamic teachings on the virtuous life,
mm-hmm,
they should benefit from what their parents have imparted to them.
It's a broadcast for the day to you, man. It's always good, you know, when sometimes they have on the television where you say the thought for the day, the inspirational word for the day. I think you really said it. You said it's good lasting thought. But just for a minute or two, can you just give us, I would say, a lasting thought for today, if I can use that term.
Yes, Allah says in the Quran, "Be a people for justice and witnesses for God."
Thank you very much, Imam. We hope to to hear from you more broadcasts of you. You know, I know how your time is and everything, but we certainly value each time that you would come. And I hope that